I heard a story some time ago about a young man, teenager, who came home too late. He had violated his curfew, and his father waited for him as he came in the house and delivered this 2.5 minute sermon on getting in on time, that he would need to have strength if he was going to fulfill his mission on the earth, and that has to do with proper rest and sleep, that the early bird gets the worm, and you can't get up early if you're tired and sleepy. And as most teenagers, he had a short comeback. He said, "Well, Father, that worm must have been up too early, or the bird would never have gotten him." The father said, "That worm had been out all night. He was getting in too late. That's how he got into trouble." See? It is important that we understand why we are here, and this institution is dedicated to making that known to us. Such men as Brother Madsen makes it very vivid, an understanding of why we are here and what our potential is, our purpose. Brother Madsen is a great missionary, and I hope each one of you are too, because you have that responsibility. I would have spoken to you some length on service tonight, but I'm not going to do that. I may come back if I get invited. But I can't control the airplanes unless I'm flying them. And I wasn't tonight. May I say that you never know where your influence will reach. And you never know what's going to happen in the lives of people that you touch. Shortly after I was baptized out in Korea, actually in Japan during Korea, I came back to San Diego. I had found the truth, and I was sure that everyone in the world was looking for the truth. And I had it, and I was going to give it to them, whether they wanted it or whether they didn't. And I got in a carpool that went from my home in Chula Vista, California, to North Island. It was about a 45-minute ride in each direction. In this carpool with me were three other lieutenants, I was a lieutenant at the time, and one enlisted man. The enlisted man's name was George Whitehead, first-class ordnanceman. I figured, well, this will be a cinch. I'll just convert these four. It'll be easy. They can't get out of the car. You know? 45 minutes in each direction. It won't take long, and I'll have them all in the church, and then I'll just move into another carpool, and I'll convert them. I can convert a whole ward just going back and forth to work. And so I went to work on those four. Those three lieutenants never heard a word that I said. If they did, you couldn't tell it. But that enlisted man, he dare not turn me off. I could tell that George was interested. And so when I would drive, I'd let the other three out of the car and park in front of George's house and preach the gospel to him for an hour before I'd let him out. I had the pressure on him to come to church. And it seemed that he was interested, but he wouldn't come. It took about 4 weeks, as I recall, and then finally he said, "Well, I'm ready to come to church tomorrow. And my wife, Lucille, is going to come with me." And I found out it had been Lucille, had been holding up the works all the time. I remember I went over to the chapel the Saturday evening before he was coming to church on Sunday morning and took the young man with me who had baptized me out in Japan, because he would spend a lot of time in my house at that time. And we washed the back door of the church. We scrubbed it good because it was dirty. And I presume no one looks at the church more critically than a missionary bringing a contact for the first time. You want all the babies to be quiet, music to be beautiful. It would be so nice if everybody would stay awake on the stand too. But I presume that's too much to expect. He said, "You're crazy washing the back door of a church." And I said, "Well, I'm going to wash the back door of the church because George and Lucille are going to come through this door tomorrow and everything has to be perfect." Well, they came and we had a great Sunday school class. I was teaching the class. I had planted some questions that they needed to hear the answers to in church, around in that class, members of the class. And I had all the answers ready for them, of course. Well, George looked like a sponge. He soaked up everything that was said. But Lucille, sitting beside him, looked like the Sphinx. You couldn't tell that she heard a word that I said. If she did, it didn't register. I could hardly wait. As we walked out of that church, through that clean door, which I made some comment about, I think, I said, "Lucille, what'd you think about that? How'd you feel about your first visit to the Lord's church?" And she said, without a smile, "I was born a Methodist and I expect to die one." I hadn't heard the Grand Richard story at that time about the Englishman and the Scotchman. The Englishman said, "I was born an Englishman, raised an Englishman, expect to die an Englishman." The Scotchman said, "Have you no ambition?" I presume I could have used that on Lucille. But maybe it's a good thing I didn't, because what I did say was, "Lucille, I promise you this, that you'll never have to give up anything that you've learned as a Methodist that's true to be a Latter-day Saint. We have no quarrel with other churches. We don't write tracts against other churches, and we never will, because we're not in the business of tearing down people's faith, but rather of building it up. To our Protestant friends that believe that salvation is by grace through faith alone, we don't argue with them, because we're not to contend with people. We're to bear witness of what is true. We say to them, we understand your emphasis on faith. We believe it too. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must have faith. But there's more to it than just faith. There's also certain works you must perform, certain ordinances you must receive, and certain authority you must hold. So come, let us share with you the fullness of the gospel. We won't take anything from you that's true. We'll just add to what you have. To our Catholic friends that believe that salvation is by grace through sacraments, we say to them, we understand your emphasis on the sacraments. We call them ordinances. We believe them too. Did not the Master say, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God? We believe that baptism is essential to salvation, but there's more to it than just baptism. There's certain works you have to perform, yes, and certain faith that you must exercise in the Lord, in your fellow man, certain authority you have to hold. So come, let us share with you the fullness of the gospel. We're not going to take anything from you that's true. We'll just add to what you have. That's essentially what I told Lucille. She didn't say a word. She just walked right on that day. That was in 1952. In 1958, I was back in Washington, D.C., still in the Navy. And the Navy sent me out to Southern California to do some temple work. Well, as a matter of fact, they didn't send me to do temple work, but that's the way it worked out. I went out to go to a special school, and while I was there, I did the work in the temple for my grandparents on both sides of my family. Also for my own mother, who had died not having accepted the gospel. As I recall, I see one of my grandparents, my grandfather's, to two wives and 16 children. Which, of course, I'll have to answer to him one day for that. But I think he'll be pleased. The girl who was proxy for two of my grandmothers and my own mother was the same Lucille Whitehead. This girl who was born a Methodist and expected to die one. She hadn't quite made it. As a matter of fact, she was ready for baptism just 2 weeks from the time she made that statement to me, because the Holy Ghost had touched her heart and she knew it was true. She was ready for baptism before George, her husband, was. George was in the bishopric of the Oxnard Ward out in Oxnard, California, 2 years from the time he was baptized. The last time I saw George and Lucille together, they had two books of family group sheets that were this thick. They had both found a volume of their family that someone had put together, not knowing why they had done it. All they did was copy off all these names and did the work in the temple for them. See, the Lord knew these people. It was about 3 years ago now, I think, October conference time. The door of my office opened up, and in came this sister. She rushed over and threw her arms around me and kissed me on the cheek and swung me around a couple of times. And I said, "Now this sure is exciting, but who in the world are you anyway?" And she said, "Brother Rector, don't you recognize me? I'm Lucille Whitehead." She'd put on a pound or two since I'd seen her. "Well, where are you, Lucille?" And she said, "I'm the Relief Society president in the Colorado Mission. Whole mission. What's George doing?" "Well, he's the branch president. I think it's in North Platte, Nebraska." You see, these are choice people the Lord knew. I didn't know that she was going to do the work for my mother. But you don't know who the people are around you. But the Lord knows. And if you take the opportunity to share the gospel with them, they'll have an impact on your life. Guarantee that. I know where those two missionaries are that knocked on my door back in 1951. I wasn't at home, but my wife was, and she let them in. She was what you call a new move-in. She just moved into the house. She was also expecting our third child. She was also an expectant mother. They make good contacts, too. It's important that we be alert to the experiences that prepare people to hear the gospel, and then that we live it so that our example will be in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord. Well, you're a great example to the whole world. We love you. We appreciate you. You have a great service to render, and you'll have opportunities to do it. We'll talk about that the next time. May I bear witness to you that I know that God, our Heavenly Father, lives, and that He is your Father. You don't belong to your parents. They just act like you do. You belong to the Lord. You are His child, and He is much concerned about you, very anxious. He wants to bless you, but you have to be in condition to get those blessings. And condition comes through obedience. I plead with you to live the commandments as you understand them, so that all things will be possible to you. And all things will be when you're in condition to receive them. I bear witness that Jesus is the Christ. He is our elder brother. He did pay the price for our sins. And because of Him, we have access back to our Heavenly Father. He made it possible. Had no sins of His own. It was your sins and mine that caused Him to suffer, but He did it because He loved us. And He says if we come unto Him and confess our sins and forsake them, we go free, for He has paid the price for us. Wouldn't we be stupid not to accept that offer? I bear witness to you that this is the church and kingdom of God on earth, that it's been restored through a great, great prophet. The prophet Joseph Smith, wonderful man that he was. We could talk for days about the prophet Joseph Smith. Among other things, you couldn't get him down. He never got discouraged. He said one time, "Never be discouraged. If I were sunk in the deepest pit of Nova Scotia and had the Rocky Mountains piled on top of me, I'd hold on, exercise good courage, and I'd come out on top." He would, too. There was another time when he said, "I am wont to walk in deep water." He loved it. Like Paul said, "I glory in tribulation." Isn't it great that Paul liked it? Because he got so much of it, you see. That's the way the prophet Joseph was. You couldn't beat him. Don't you just love people that can't be beaten? That's the way the Lord is. You can't beat Him. The kingdom is not going to fail. It's going to roll forth. Yes, it'll break down all other kingdoms and fill the whole earth and stand forever, and you're part of it. Isn't it great to be part of a winner? Don't you love a winner? I do. I hate to lose. I think I'm the worst loser in all the world. I don't believe in it. Some say it matters not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. Don't you believe that? It makes a lot of difference whether you win or not. And we came here to win, and we will win if we stick with the Lord, because He's not a loser. The kingdom will not fail. Isn't it great to be part of it? But you've got to be in the thick of it to really enjoy this. And the Lord will let you get right in the middle of it if you want to. This is His kingdom. I bear witness to you that we have a living prophet of God on earth. President Spencer W. Kimball is a prophet of the living God. We could talk a long time about him, too. Marvelous man that he is, preserved by the Lord to lead his church and kingdom at a critical time. He'll do it, and he'll do it marvelously well, for he acts under the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose church this really is. And I bear this witness to you in all soberness. May the Lord bless us to walk uprightly before the Lord, keep His commandments, show Him that we love Him by the way we obey Him. That we may do so, I pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.